Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter. Now, when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by and watched. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He claimed to be the Messiah of God. Let him save himself." And the soldiers also mocked him. They came forth bringing sour wine, saying to him, "Save yourself if you're the King of the Jews." And there was an inscription over him that read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who was hanged there also derided him. He said to him, "Are you the Messiah of God or not? Save us and yourselves." But the other one rebuked him, saying, "Don't you fear God? For you are under the same condemnation. And we have been condemned rightly for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. I'd like to invite the young people forward. You're going to go with Lori right out to the pink chairs. She's got a story about for you about Christ the King and about Officer Buckle and Gloria. If you want to go out that way. Officer Buckle and Gloria. One of my favorites. On this Christ the King Sunday, we have to ask the question, what kind of king is this? Because the world paints a very different picture for us of kinghood, of monarchy and reign. Even our nations elect people popular and strong, people that we think will help us, if you'll pardon the expression, win again. But the kings and rulers of this world, if you're paying any attention at all, they normally help their friends. They normally help the people who already have it made. They tend to live lives of luxury and power beyond what we can imagine. I remember back to the time when a rock fell and one of my friends was in one of the small towns there when that town fell, and he said everything in the town was the same color. It was the brown of dirt. The roads were dirt, the houses were made from that mud, and the people seemed to be that same color too. But Saddam Hussein had a palace in that town that looked the same from the outside, that color of dirt. And the day the city fell, the people stormed the gates of that palace and broke it open, and inside was a paradise. Green grass and fountains and little houses of every color. And in the great palace itself, a crystal room with cut crystal vases. Colors of every hue, where he would come and entertain his friends. And he wasn't alone in that. That's how kings function. In fact, if you think back to the time when Israel was wandering in the wilderness, they looked around at the nations around them and saw that they were governed by kings. And they saw that they had less chaos. They had a better direction, seemingly. Things were a little bit more organized. And so they cried out to God, "We want a king! We want a king! We want a king!" And that was when God raised up the prophet Samuel to go to the people, and God instructed the prophet Samuel to go to the people and say, "You don't know what you're asking. You don't want a king." The people said, "No, we want a king, we want a king." And again, Samuel went and said, "You don't want a king." God told him to say, "Here's what the king will do. The king will take your sons and conscript them into the military so that he might hold on to his power. You will suffer the loss and he will hold his power. And he will take your daughters and bring them into the palace and have them for himself. You will watch and suffer, and he will have the glory. And if that's not bad enough, he'll take a portion of your crops, because now he has lots of people that he has to feed, troops and concubines and wives and courtiers and nobles, and you will be taxed. You don't want a king." The people said, "No, we want a king, we want a king." God said, "Okay, here's your king." People have been suffering ever since, even in what we call democracy, because people with money and influence and power figure out how to get around the laws, and then they figure out how to write laws. And if you look at who benefits from laws and government, it's usually not the little people. It's usually not those who have next to nothing. What kind of king is this? Because when we look for God to be our king, don't we want God to abolish all of that? Don't we want God to put somebody on the throne of the United States who's going to look out for the little people? Don't we want God to put someone on the throne of Canada who's going to look out for the little people? Don't we want someone on the throne of Nigeria who's going to look out for the little people? And Iraq and Iran and Israel and Belgium and France and England? Don't we want world community, world peace? I don't know about you, but I'm aching for beloved community everywhere. What kind of king is this? Well, if you look at our kingdoms and our governments, they usually fall when we take out the king. Sometimes we have to kill the whole royal family. Sometimes we have to kill the president's cabinet. We actually have a show on TV about that right now. Designated Survivor, that's what that's about. It's about how do we topple these things that are lifted up in the name of righteousness but end up being something less than righteous. Or we have to have military coups, mutiny on the Bounty. What kind of king is this? Because he's executed, tortured, tried, and executed. And for what? For caring about little people. For loving the least amongst us. What was Jesus' crime, after all? He touched the untouchable. If you can imagine, he went to lepers and touched them. He risked his health to do it. He went to the outcasts and welcomed them back into community. He sat at table with tax collectors and sinners. He talked to women in public. And for that, he ended there. You know why? Love and community are always a threat to the economy. They're always a threat to those in power. Love and community and graciousness and inclusion are a threat to those who want to take it for themselves. And so they hung him on a tree. What kind of king is this? Well, let me tell you. It's a king whose kingdom isn't toppled by death. When they killed him, they made it worse. They killed him, and through his death, he taught us all how to love. He multiplied himself. He created followers to go into the world and love, to touch those who seem untouchable, to welcome into community those who've been outcast. He's teaching us to sit with tax collectors and sinners, to talk to women in public, if you will. What does it look like today? Well, he's teaching us to befriend Muslims. He's teaching us to look for those who are homeless. He's teaching us to level the playing field of the church and welcome those of different gender identities. Because that's what love does. It always stretches us. It challenges the status quo. It challenges what we think is right, and it challenges what we hold and own as if we were kings ourselves. What kind of a king is this? It's the kind of king whose kingdom didn't end with death. It started with it. Because he didn't stay on the cross. He got down and he came back with more power than he ever had. Power for the little people and power for you. I don't know about you, but I want to be citizens of that community. I want to be part of his beloved community that can't ever be taken or shaken or destroyed, that looks out for me wherever I am, whatever I'm up to, even when I'm wrong. In fact, that's when it works for me the most, because that's when he comes for me. And that's when he comes for you. What kind of a king is this? He's a king for you. For me. For the world and for every nation in it. For every person, great or small, crowned or not. Struggling or joyful, suffering or celebrating. He's a king for you and he's a king for the ages. God bless you for your son Jesus, our king, and for this, his beloved community. Grace and peace and the kingship of Christ be with you now and evermore. Amen.